Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that he's doing and all of his people who take him at his word. God is good. As we have faith in the Lord our God, we learn his ways. We learn bonus things that we couldn't learn any other way. There are things that we learn in obedience that we can't learn in disobedience. And that's the way it always was. So every time you take the Lord at his word, you're blessing your whole life. You're making your whole life much better than you could have aside from God's word. And I love it. I thank God for every soul that will seek him and take him at his word. Now we're going to continue with, we started off teaching several broadcasts ago, the website broadcast. We've been talking about how rebellion forms. And we started from the parable of the sower, you know, the wayside heart. That's like the path, the ground that's on the pathway. It's hard ground. And then the stony heart, the stony ground, which is like a heart with stones in it. And then the seed that was sown among thorns, the cares of this world, lust of other things entering in chokes the word of God. And then you got the good ground. Now we studied it from the front side, a person hearing of God for the first time. And now we want to look at the, as God gives you, you receive Christ, you believed on him, you've taken him at his word, you're learning and growing. And then the Lord gives you something to do, an assignment. Well, when that happens, a challenge comes about because the enemy tries to stop the good works of God from going forth in your life. And there are temptations to discourage you from going forward. There are temptations to get you in fear. There are temptations to get you to worry that you won't be adequate. There are then the work side of ministry. The enemy try to get you in your own to do it in your own strength, and through that he'll introduce worry. He got temptations for every possible reason. Anything that'll get you off track, he's got a temptation to do it. And the way we destroy his works is we use the word on the backside. That's what I'm just putting it that way. All right, you already received Christ. You have a good heart, and you're growing. Well, when the enemy sends his challenges, looking to the Lord in faith, it helps to keep your heart soft. It helps to keep rocks from growing in your heart and thorns and things that's wrong. If you receive the word of God for what it is, it'll keep your heart good. And the same way that your heart is receptive to the word of God, if it can be receptive to the word of God, you can continue to be receptive to the word of God and not let your heart be distracted. Now, Jesus put it this way. He said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. And we talked about that in many broadcasts before. And it's true. If you continue to look at him, at Jesus, regarding his word, not physically looking at him because you can't physically see him unless he reveals himself. And if he did, it wouldn't be a long vision anyway. But looking unto him is considering what he said, what he did, what he does, how he do things. Faith looks to God, and fear looks to man. When you're trying to please man and you're concerned, you want their attention or you want their approval, fear looks to man. Those things get you off track. They attach Satan to the mix. You don't need to fear looking at man, considering how man is going to do, whether they're going to receive you. Now, all of that is irrelevant. All of it. You know, the anointing can stand alone. The anointing can do some things. It's powerful already. And when you're anointed and you're willing to use that anointing, you can do some good. And whether people receive it or not is irrelevant. It cannot devalue what the anointing in your life can do. Now, following God makes the difference. You can try to win people that don't want God, and your anointing won't work toward them. And I'm going to explain that in a little bit. It'll work to reel in the people that want to know God. That's why we have to be adjustable. We have to be willing to take God at His word and go where He sends us and do what He say do when we get there. When people are not willing to obey God and go where He sends us, then we may never get to know what the anointing in our lives can do. So it's very important to go where the Lord sends us, do what He say do. He prepares us for audiences. Under the anointing, He prepares us for audiences, and He will guide us to who will hear us first. And wherever He guides us, He's going to use us to bless His people in real time. The anointing will work where it's welcome. Remember, we're not the only ones who activate it. People who have a hungry heart toward the Lord, they activate your anointing. When you say something your words are a blessing to them. I'm trying to get my words right. Your words are a blessing and they want more. They automatically activate the anointing. God sees their heart reaching out. When their heart is trying to learn from Him, then they activate your anointing. Anybody in faith can do that. If they're in a state of believing the word of God and they begin to have hope, they activate your anointing. Now, the enemy he doesn't want any of these wonderful things to happen. So he tries to harden our hearts against the perfect will of God. And he does it by giving negative temptations, negative advice. Well, the people are not going to want it. They're not used to that. These are the kind of thoughts that will bombard your mind. Now, your heart, you got a good heart, so he tried to get you in the mind realm. Well, the preachers don't teach that. You're the only one teaching that. He'll bum rush you with these thoughts. You know, they're gonna reject that. The people are not going to be receptive. Anytime he can get your focus off of Jesus Christ and on the man, he can get you in fear. It doesn't matter what they want, what they believe, and how they teach. It has nothing to do with you. But the Lord sent you where He sends you to be a blessing to those that want Him. That's why it's so important to follow God, because He'll lead you. Now, the Word of God can help you soften your own heart. When Jesus was tempted by the enemy was trying to get change his focus off of the perfect will of God. Jesus was already fasting and drawing near to the Lord, minding his own business. And the Lord sent him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. And so he went. But he was serving God. And the Lord had to... This gives us an example. And before God gives us an assignment, there are some things you're just going to have to overcome. Now, this is Matthew chapter 4. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. He was very hungry. And anybody with a body would be very hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." The lust of the flesh. Satisfy your flesh. You know, it was not wrong for Jesus to end his fast and eat, but not at the will of Satan. Verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Satan was trying to change his focus off the heart of God's will, off the heart of the Father, and onto his own needs and desires. Then the devil take them up to a holy city, setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Sometimes people desire to be proven before man. The anointing proves itself. You don't have to prove anything. And I learned a long time ago, I really don't have anything to prove to anyone. Whatever God called me to do, I want to make sure I do it. Whatever He called me to be, I just want to make sure I fulfill that calling. That's the only concern I have. Whether people receive it or not, reject it or not, is irrelevant. In other words, I really don't care what they do. I desire that they benefit. And I contend for the faith to go where God leads me so that I can be an anointed voice among those that desire the truth. People that won't change. I contend to be there for them. I will do whatever I have to do to get to those who want to hear. And I hope I never change my mind. But people that don't want it, it doesn't bother me if God don't send me to people that don't want it in the first place. I desire that they know God, but if they reject it and God won't send me to them, I don't cry about it. But the people that want to know God, I will stop Satan in his tracks and I will go and do what God said do. And whether they receive it right off or not, whether it looks like they're receiving it or not, is irrelevant. Yeah, the enemy always try to get you back in appearance. He's always trying to get you to look at appearance, how things look, how things seem. He try to generate fear in you. Get you to receive his poison. And the word of God can work to help to give you a shield of faith. See, your faith can operate just like a shield. And you can repel the bombardment of Satan's devices so that your heart can still be soft. In some areas, your heart can be soft. In some areas, your heart can be hard. Now, when it comes to temptation, I want my heart to be hard against that. I don't want to receive it. I use a shield of faith. And I set my heart against things that I know are wrong. And everything that's evil, I harden my heart against that. And I soften my heart to the word of God. Now, when temptation is received, any form of temptation, they work to harden your heart. They work to destroy the roots of God's word in your heart. Same thing the stones would do. They work to drain your heart of the nutrients you need to develop faith. If the enemy can drain the word out of you through worry and doubt and fear and forms of fear, forms of rebellion, lust, all these things can drain the word out of your heart. And I used to, when the Lord would give me a message, I would feel like it's a holiday. I could feel the joy from receiving that word from the Lord. It had its own joy in it. And it was filled with peace and joy. And I couldn't wait to share it. It was like fire shut up in my bones. So usually I would have, when somebody invite me to preach, it'll be 3 or 4 weeks away. So by the time the Sunday came for me to minister the word of God, it's like I had to read it off the paper. When I used to feel it in my heart. And after a few years, I said, "Lord, what's going on? Why is this happening?" He said, "The enemy's siphoning the word out of your heart." And he did it through things that would aggravate you. I was a mechanic. I'm a mechanic now, but I had my own business at that time. And in order for me to make money, I had to finish what I was working on. I already didn't charge enough money in the first place. But if I could fix 5 cars a day, I did pretty good. And I could pay my bills and buy some of the things I wanted. But if I go to a parts store and they didn't have what I needed, that wasted my time. And this was before cell phones, so I would call them from at home. And I would see if they had the part. And I would get over there and they didn't have the part. Or they had the wrong part. Or they thought they had the part. Now I had to go somewhere else. And this, without a telephone, you just drive to the nearest parts store and hope they have it. A lot of things would aggravate you. Women would try to tempt you. All kind of, just whatever you can imagine that would go wrong, that would aggravate you, that's about what happened. And by the time it was time for me to minister the word, I was drained. I had to read it off the paper. So that's how I learned how to manage the heart. And after the Lord told me what was happening, I didn't get worked up over the things on the outside. I kept a full supply of the word on the inside. I studied the message God gave me on the inside and other scriptures that would help keep me built up and edified. And that's how I won. And it works. The word of God can help you sustain. It can help you keep a good and honest heart. The shield of faith, you can use that to destroy the fiery darts that come. All the things of the enemy that come to distract you. And keep your focus on him, on what he said, and not on the things of the world, not on how people are going to receive you. That's irrelevant. If you speak the truth in love, either people are going to desire it or they're not. We don't make people desire things. But I contend mostly for those who want to know. I'll even contend for people who don't want to know. If I got a minister at a place, I'll go minister. If God give me any place to minister, I will minister. And then sometimes there are people there that are here and there are many that won't. But I don't let Satan stop me just because there's a lot of people that won't listen. God knows who will listen. Now, God sent Jeremiah and Ezekiel. With Ezekiel, he said, "The people are not going to hear you, but go and minister anyway." And he did that as a witness against them. So whatever God called you to do, make it happen and enjoy the process. Whether people receive it or not is irrelevant. Do it because God said it. And you'll fulfill your destiny because God is the one who shows us what to do. The Holy Spirit manages the anointing. He directs. He's the director of your anointing. And when we do what he say, we're automatically in place to use that anointing. And we take orders from him, not the people, and not leaders of people. And not presidents, not pastors and teachers. We take orders from the Holy Spirit. If a pastor or anybody that has a ministry invite us to come and minister, then fine. But the anointing is directed by the Holy Spirit. What we preach is directed by the Holy Spirit. And if I have to change my words, I don't want to be there. I want to do it God's way. I'm not going to go preach something that God didn't give me to preach. You don't have to do that. The enemy works in the soul realm where he tried to get you on his ground. Verse 10 in Matthew chapter 4 says, "Then saith Jesus unto him." Verse 8 says, "Again the devil takes him up to an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Trying to tempt him with pride and lust of the eye. "Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." This is the single eye. Jesus never deviated for Satan's distractions. He stayed true to the word of God, even when it looked like he was losing something. And Jesus knew he loved all those people. But you don't have to compromise to win souls. You don't have to compromise to do God's will. You don't have to compromise to get ahead. You don't have to compromise and change the foundation to get what you want. And then verse 11 says, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Now, Jesus did these things. This really happened, all of it. But the word of God will help you see God. It will help you do his perfect will. It will help you obey him. It will help you love him. It will help you go forward. It will help you succeed and not fail. It will help you build God's way and not the world's way. We don't just serve God. We also reject Satan. We reject the worldly way. And no rebellion can form when you're seeking unto the Lord, when you're seeking the Lord, when you're endeavoring to do everything God's way, when you love the word of God and hate the ways of the world. It's not enough to just love God's word. You have to also hate the ways of the world system, because you can't serve two masters. You can't tolerate the world. You can't use it. It's a foreign object. It can't help you. The worldly way is dangerous. It's death. It's a sickness, a disease, and it's phony. But Balaam, you know, looking back at Balaam, his counsel taught Balak how to cast a snare on Israel. And I noticed that in Numbers chapter 31, all the people that died under Moses' army, it names, they slew the kings of Midian. This is verse 8 in chapter 31. "Beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, Reba, five kings of Midian, and Balaam also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword." But it didn't name Balak. Now, in the discourse of what Balaam told Balak, it looks like Balaam may have gotten afraid to fight, or he may have fled. I don't know what he did, but he's not listed with the men that got killed. But Balaam did die. And I don't know why he's not listed. Maybe he ran and fled because he was very afraid of Israel. And he probably just ran. But every time you do God's word, everything that you do is very important. Everything that God gives you to do is important. The enemy tries to stop the works of God. All the progress of God, he tries to stop. He tries to hinder. Balak did not succeed. He got a lot of people died because of what he did. But a religion was formed, Baal worship. And that was because a man decided to rebel against the counsel of God. We are made in God's image. We can do things that can bless, and we can do things that can curse. So it behooves us to stick with the love of God and not underestimate our capabilities. If we underestimate our capabilities, we can be used of Satan, and whether we want to or not. We have to stay in the love of God in order to go forward. We have to, and not fear the things of the enemy, but do what God said do. If we stay in the love of God, we can go forward. If we stay in the love of God, we won't do the things that cause harm. And we'll be people that God can mightily use. Sometimes people underestimate what they can do for the Lord, as well as what they can do in the world, if they don't follow God. See, the things that went wrong was not God's will. God tried to help Balaam avoid these things, but he kept on listening to Balak, desiring what he had to say, desiring the honor of the world. And it came to a head. It caused many problems that could not be reversed. And then he ended up dying. It wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's will at all. It would have been better if Balaam would have listened to the Lord in the first place. But he ended up being a snare to Israel and getting killed because of it. Now, rebellion don't have to happen. We can undo the works of darkness as we trust and follow God. The word of God says that if they that build the house labor in vain. If the Lord don't build the house, they labor in vain. Zechariah said, plain as day, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Numbers chapter 22, verse 41. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the uttermost part of the people. Now, this is the first mention of Baal that I know of. And in the mountains of Peor, you know, and you see Israel falling into the trap of Baal worship. And it all started with temptation, a series of temptations, disagreements from the word of God. How does it look? How does it feel? What are you after? What are the people going to think? If the enemy gets you in that vein, if he gets you to look at the people and what you want, what you desire, and away from the heart of God's will, he can get you on his side. He can get you to rebel against God. But I don't fear him, and we shouldn't fear him. We should obey the Lord our God and King and do it his way, because that's what's going to work. This man started something that should never have started. You know, over the years, many people died. Millions of people were led astray. Israel ended up going into captivity because of this. They ended up going into Babylonian captivity. And the land of Shinar, Babylon, Iraq is the modern name. Shinar is the local place, and there was a plain in Shinar. Where that's where false religion started. And when Jesus come back and restore the earth, that place is going to be given the salt. It's not going to grow anything. It'll be a marshland. It'll be given the salt. Nothing will grow there, because that's where man first rebelled, in Shinar, in Iraq. Now, part of the land of Iraq belongs to Israel, and it's going to be returned. But the part where they first started rebellion, it's going to be given the salt, according to the prophets. We have to consider all the things that the Lord is saying. Stick with Him, because God knows what He's doing. When we take the Lord at His word and speak His word, we have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing. You know, Jesus said that Satan has nothing in me. And if he don't have any place, then how can he start a streak of rebellion? How can he? His word starts in seed form too, a thought, a desire. And you have to say something against each one that you realize. And you have to prepare, you have to fortify your heart to follow God's word. And then you will always succeed. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it teaches us how to never fall. Add to your faith virtue. And those are the scriptures that help you to stand. Verse 10 said, if you do these things, you shall never